X and O.
Hi, Millery Condon. Welcome back. Let's get the Bama Bob. Oh, that means it's September. Don't I wish the summer away? Well, kind of I do. Anyways, let's get welcome you back to hour number two. Let you know that at the bottom of the hour, Tom Cakert or thereabouts will join us as we preview Colorado and Iowa. We'll take the latest on football as practice goes on and maybe take a look inside the men's basketball program with Tom Cakert. But that's at the bottom of the hour. Trent's plays of the day. Circus Sports sponsor those coming up at about 10 minutes or so before 1 o'clock. Off to Boston we go. Alec Bussey, Cyclone. CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports, still in Boston, late night last night. What time did you get back to the hotel, Alec Bussey?
So I made the wise decision to just leave the stadium and go work in my hotel room, Brian. Get to bed until 4:30 Eastern time. So it was an early morning, I guess, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah. So did the team didn't fly back last night, did they?
I don't know. I haven't talked to anyone about it. I would imagine they probably flew back this morning, just given the timeline of when the game ended.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. Well, look, it seems to me that this team is entirely different, and it seems to set the tone for the game when a guy like Manchilovich makes that first shot of the game, right? When that goes through the net, seemingly they don't have that offensive lapse to start the basketball game, and we saw an offensive lapse again last night to start the basketball game. I thought they settled for some really disappointing shots. Maybe give credit to Illinois' defense, which was certainly better than we thought. But your thoughts on the start offensively for Iowa State last night? What went wrong, Alec?
Yeah, I think it certainly bit them last night against Illinois when it maybe didn't against Washington State. I think they fell down 7-0 to Washington State in the round of 32, fell down 8-0 against Illinois last night. And it's just really hard to overcome those holes as you start to play better and better teams, and Illinois is obviously one of the two, three best teams that Iowa State has played this entire season. And I thought that Illinois did a good job of pressuring the ball and limiting catches and making it hard to just kind of get into different actions. I asked TJ Altoberger after the game if he felt Illinois' ball pressure was something that surprised them. He admitted it wasn't, but it was more of something that just kind of, got them out of what they were anticipating. So I think that kind of made them a little bit uncomfortable. You think about some of the shots that they threw up early. You mentioned Manchilovich missing his first look. That wasn't particularly close. He seemed to kind of force that one up, force up another shot. I thought Keyshawn Gilbert struggled with Terrence Shannon on him early in the first half, and then really outside of the 3 or 4 minute stretch early in the second half, he didn't really give Iowa State much at all last night on the offensive end. And Taman Lipsey just didn't have it last night either offensively. I thought he struggled. He just goes 3 of 9 from the floor. And, it's tough when you're going up against a squad that's just bigger and has more length than you do to kind of get into your actions offensively, even if Illinois is offensively challenged, defensively challenged, I should say.
Alec, you brought up Manchilovich there, and that's somebody that Ken's talked about a lot this week, the importance of getting him going. We know he's a very skilled offensive player, but this offseason, I mean, what can you do to get that consistency that he certainly needs to kind of take that next step forward, because he's going to be a huge part of what they do next season?
Yeah, Trent, to be honest with you, I think he's a freshman at the end of the day, and he had a great freshman year, and I hope that fans don't put last night on him, because that's completely unfair. Mm-hmm. I know he goes 0-4 from the field, and he has, two passes picked off that go for dunks at the other end for Shannon. But, he was a huge part in their success all year. And I think just with another year of maturation in the weight room, another year in college basketball will just really help him kind of progress and continue to get better. And I think Iowa State will find more creative ways to use him in different ways offensively next year. And, in addition to that, I think you might see him improve a little bit athletically with an offseason in the weight room and training and all those different things. We know he can be maybe slower footed. We know that he kind of struggles sometimes to defend with more athletic players matched up against him. But I think with an offseason, he could potentially get better at a couple of those things.
What's the starting lineup look like next year, Alec? I mean, obviously the portal is open. I don't think that Lipsey or Gilbert or Jones are going to go anywhere. Mončilovic, likewise. What is next year's starting five look like on your mind? Might they roll out a three-guard lineup to start?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question. I think if the roster, if they don't make any more additions via the transfer portal, which seems unlikely because they need more help in the front court, I think you're probably a little bit more likely to kind of see a starting lineup that includes Mončilovic at the four, along with Taman, Keyshawn, and Curtis Jones at the three guard positions. And then right now, you'd probably see DeSean Jackson, the Charlotte transfer, start at the five. Now, I think that, like I said, is probably unlikely because I expect Iowa State to make another addition via the portal, which would probably move Mončilovic back to the three in this scenario. I don't know how much, you know, defensively Iowa State really wants to start three guards who are all under 6'5", mm-hmm. 6'4". I think that's something that, you know, positionally, their positional size isn't the greatest. Right. I think this is one of the opinions that I have about the Big 12 in general, is that they don't have a ton of great positional size. They have really good guard play, but they don't have guards who are 6'5", 6'6", very often. So I think it's just one of those situations where, you know, they need to just find another guard who can give them some increased size and impact, potentially, if they want to add a guard in the portal.
Speaking of that, where are they scholarship-wise and the potential of maybe somebody moving on and opening up a scholarship? Do you know offhand where they are scholarship-wise?
Yeah, let me pull up my scholarship chart here real quick. It'll take me just a second.
Sure.
You know, they're going to return most of their roster. Right now, it looks like that they'll have two scholarships open heading into the 2024-2025 season with, you know, the departures of King and Rob Jones and Hassan Ward. And then when you factor in the two freshmen that are coming in, and Andrew Sidis and Pierce, but Curtis Jones expecting to use his next one, you know, they'll only have a couple available for next year. So it's one of those situations where they certainly, you know, have to, you know, fill one or two of those spots. And with, you know, you're probably going to see some attrition via the portal. You're probably going to see one or two, maybe three guys leave. That's just the nature of the sport in today's world. So it's just an uncomfortable situation where, like, you don't necessarily know who all is going to be on your roster and who won't be, but they'll have a couple available that they'll try and fill this spring, I would imagine.
What's Omaha Blue's future at Iowa State?
Yeah, I don't want to speculate too much. I know the staff really likes him as a person. I know they feel really confident about his potential growth and what he could turn into. But, of course, at the same time, I think it's also fair to admit that his freshman season was a disappointment relative to the expectations that certainly the fan base had for him and his recruiting ranking and those different things. He just needs to get a lot better. You know, he's a really good athlete, but skill-wise, I think he has a lot to improve upon. And I think that he needs to find his best fit within the Iowa State scheme if he does decide to return next season. I thought that Iowa State, you know, early in the year when he was getting a little bit more of opportunity, could have used him in the dunker's role, could have used him in different things like that. We saw him play a little bit better in the Big 12 tournament, but that's such a small sample size, and he was only in that position because Demarion Watson was out with a concussion, of course.
Yeah. You mentioned Watson. Sorry to barge in here, Trent. Watson, he had 15 against, who was it? Oklahoma? He had 15 earlier.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it was.
Junior Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think it was one of those two. Had a really good game. He didn't miss, if memory serves, in the basketball game. He's one of those guards that's got some length, right? He's probably their tallest guard. Certainly he's got long arms. Is that kind of what you, a prototype, if you will, when you say that you'd like to get some guards with a little bit of size? Try to find a guy with Watson's size. Is that what you're looking for, Alec?
Yeah, they need wings.
Yeah, okay.
As much as anything, like, you're not going to find a Terrence Shannon in the portal, right? Like, he's one of the two or three best players in the country. And obviously, Illinois got him out of the portal, but you're not going to find this version of Terrence Shannon out of the portal. I mean, the version that Illinois got from Texas Tech was still a really good add, but they need wings. They need better athleticism, I think. Like, Trey King is not a bad athlete at the four, but, you know, he's not someone who you're running a lot of action through, or he's handling a ton, or attacking the rim off of the bounce from the perimeter. I think if they can add a piece like that, I think that they'll be a lot better situated, because at times I just question if they had enough playmaking with size. Like, Mončilovic can, you know, make his own shot at his own size, but he's not necessarily a great athlete, like I said a little bit earlier. So I think just adding just a little bit of size and athleticism could really, really help you know, their backcourt next season. And that guy plays at the four, because there's enough skilled fours out there that you can add. You know, that would really help them as well.
Over to women's basketball quickly. A couple of players that were rotational pieces at minimum in in the transfer portal, along with Bristow. After last season, and I know you weren't around at the time, Alec, for it. I mean, it felt like the program. You're wondering what's happening with all these players moving on. Well, maybe it was the freshman class. But surprise at all on that front, what you saw, and portal movement for a couple of important pieces looking at next season.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I don't cover a ton of the women's basketball team, just kind of follow it from afar. But, you know, it's kind of the nature of the roster this year, right, and the way the college sports works. I think everyone's just kind of trying to find their best fit moving forward and trying to find a spot where they feel good about moving into their future as basketball players. So I never want to be critical of a player's decision to enter the portal, whether it's personal-based, whether it's financial-based. I think everyone is trying to do what's best for them. And I think it certainly opens the opportunity for the women's program and Coach Fenley to be able to find a couple more additional pieces to put around a roster that is returning a couple important pieces. Obviously, you know, Audie Cooks is coming back, and Emily Ryan is as well. So they've got a good opportunity to have a really good starting point. And I think in this era of college basketball, whether it's men's or women's, what you want is to enter the season feeling good about, you know, two to four women on your roster that you feel like you can count on to be regular, consistent contributors.
Back to last night inside the locker room after the game, Alec. Robert Jones in particular, not sure if you had it. I know he did some media availability. Not sure if you were part of that scrum or not. But look, from when he got here to where he leaves, he was kind of a who. And now he's revered by a lot, most of the Cyclone fans that you bump into. Did he recap his time at Iowa State and maybe a memory or two of what he had and what he'll miss? Did you talk to or were you part of Robert Jones' media scrum?
I wanted to be, but I was talking to Tame and Lipsy, and then I was talking to Milan, and as I prepared to go talk to Rob, he left to go get in the shower after the game, so I wasn't able to talk to him. But yeah, I did talk to a couple people just about the senior class and how they want to be remembered, including Jimmy Pollard. He spoke really highly of Rob Jones. You know, he made it to two Sweet 16s at Iowa State. He did a really good job of helping establish and build the program, along with Trey King, who transferred in and wasn't able to play right away. But, you know, those two players were around for what is potentially a build of a really exciting and great time for Iowa State basketball.
No doubt about it. The building last night, obviously UConn, the proximity, they're going to sell most or take up most of the seats. It looked as though they had 75% of the entire fan base in that building. Iowa State had their section. It's tough to ask. You know, you go to Kansas City, spend a bunch of money there, and then you repeat the following week over in Omaha. Tough to get on an airplane, expensive flights, and make your way all across the country to the Eastern time zone. What was the card and gold fans like as far as numbers wise? Any idea? You know, was it 10% of the building, 5% of the building? What did it look like to you?
Yeah, they certainly filled most of their section, and then there would have been a spattering of some around the TD Garden last night. They got lauded a few times when Iowa State would cut the lead down to, you know, four or five in the first half, and then when they maybe got it down to two or three in the second half, they certainly tried to will their team over the hump. But they just weren't able to do it. There were certainly more Iowa State fans than there were San Diego State fans.
Yeah.
Aztec fans kind of filled their section, and that's really all where you kind of heard them from. UConn fans, like you said, filled most of the arena, just proximity to home, and they kind of own the Eastern Seaboard, it kind of seems like, for college basketball fandom. I thought Illinois traveled well. I kind of expected them to travel well.
Yep.
They have a fairly good alumni base out here in the Northeast, from what I understand. And yeah, I think Illinois maybe outnumbered Iowa State just a little bit. But it wasn't like a noticeable noise difference for each team when they were making a run or they had strung together a few stops.
A little bit surprised, Alec, on the football front. Big recruiting weekend. Figured Easter weekend going to be difficult. But not only they got a lot of guys on the local front, but they got guys from all over the country coming in this weekend. Another one of those important dates here in the spring. What can you tell us on the football recruiting side of things?
Yeah, they're having a ton of success right now. Obviously, got a commitment from Xavion Robinson. Same first name. Basketball got a commitment from Xavion Mitchell. Football got Xavion Robinson.
Two Xavions.
A high three-star receiver from Valley, right in the Des Moines area. Someone with really good speed, good size. Has struggled with some injuries in his in his athletic career. Had a pretty serious shoulder injury this past fall. Has hurt his ankle in the past as well. But I know that they're excited about the potential that he could bring for them. And like you said, they're hosting a ton of kids on campus this weekend for a visit and to see the team practice as they continue to go through spring practices. A lot of the kids that they're hosting this weekend are right now, I think, a little bit more of an eval, but they're, you know, important kids to kind of get on campus, as you never know where you're going to be in the cycle and who you may want to push for late in the cycle, because we saw Iowa State do a really good job in the last, you know, 24 to 72 hours before the early signing period this past winter.
I'm guessing you're not
kids.
I'm guessing you're not the only one trying to do this, but how difficult is it to try and change a flight to get out of Boston earlier than Sunday? You having any success?
I haven't looked. I honestly, like I said, I went to bed at 4:30 and I woke up around 10:30 or 11, showered, and now I'm just kind of trying to open my computer and look at it. I talked to you guys. Got to talk to my boss. Might be staying around and doing some additional coverage for the 24/7 network, potentially hopping on the UConn beat, which might be fun. Might get to cover a team that potentially goes to a Final Four.
Yeah, certainly they look the part, do they not? My good gosh. So were you in your seat to watch the first game?
Yeah, I was for most of it. I got up and left for a little bit late. The chairs that they've got the media sitting in aren't great, so they're not super comfortable. So I kind of wanted to walk up into the media room and just kind of stretch my legs out and get comfortable. But yeah, the UConn's really good.
Yep.
Newsflash.
Right.
If anyone didn't know. I do think that Illinois has potential to give them a little bit of a scare if they're able to score the ball at an efficient level. But ultimately, I think UConn's going to end up having too much, and they'll get past Illinois and make it to their second straight Final Four.
I'm with you. Well, we'll concentrate on football. Maybe there's some basketball news that that hits between now and Monday. But we'll speak with you on Monday whenever you get back. Have a safe flight. Alec Bussey, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Alec, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys, for having me, and appreciate you for having me throughout the entire season. It was a blast to cover.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. Thanks, Alex. Safe flight coming home. Good stuff there. Well, we'll see, Trent. We'll see what the roster looks like. Mm-hmm. We'll see if there are some, you know, some of the players decide to go portaling. I think there was something in place with Ballou that's not going to be, unfortunately, going to happen the way that they wanted it to. There was some talk that he was going to play a Drake. This coming season,
yeah,
and then make this way back up on should you know, get that experience, get a whole bunch of playing time, go down to where you can, you know, you can play 30, 32 minutes or whatever it is in a game, and just try and improve, because I mean, nobody thought that it was going to be the season for him would turn out the way that it would, right? I mean, when he signed, you're getting a 5-star, blah blah blah. Not they don't all work out. I get that. But it just didn't work out the way that anybody thought that it was going to.
Well, and if it goes that direction, I mean, is it a stretch to think that he shows up at West Virginia? I mean, if that had been talked about on the Drake front,
well, I think it was more so the Valley front.
Uh-huh. West Virginia needs dudes, right?
They do.
I mean, where's it more likely he's going to play? At West Virginia next season or at Iowa State? And well, if you're not going to be looking at minutes next year, what are you doing? I mean, I understand liking a place, but this is a 5-star. This is a kid that had some big-time opportunities, and if you're looking at a second straight season and not playing, and you have at least that kind of raw talent and it's not happening there, I don't know. It's an odd situation at the very least.
No, it truly is. Absolutely is. All right, Tom Caker will join us next. Miller and Condon, it's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. So I'm just sitting here kind of thinking to myself, Trent, just kind of daydreaming, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
And I realized that that I'm getting the guests on the show here today. And it just dawned on me that I heard the music. I forgot to line up Tom Caker. So if you would talk for a second, and I'll get Tom Caker.
Sure, absolutely. Well, no problem at all. Well, as we get ready to talk a little Hawkeyes here, of course, getting ready for the Sweet 16. I'm set up in Clinton over at Wild Rose and at Coach's, the sports book here, and watching the press conference with Lisa Bluter, and Gabby Marshall is up at the podium right now. You look back to the game and the victory that they had and what they were able to do in that round of 32 matchup. You know, Gabby Marshall is as important to anybody. We've talked about, you know, some of the numbers from her this season and what she's meant to the squad and what she does, obviously, on the defensive end. But they need to get her going. And when we get into this game, and we'll talk a little bit more about it with Tom when we get him lined up momentarily, is that one thing that statistically I was a tick better in a lot of the different categories in this game than Colorado, but it's a very good Colorado team, as we've talked about throughout the course of the week. The one angle, though, is they're not very good at stopping three-pointers this year. 311th in the country in three-point defense. So that's a big one right there, Ken, is in a matchup that looks really good, it's not just Caitlin. Can they get Gabby Marshall going? Can they get Kate Martin going from the outside? Can somebody else step up? Is it, you know, maybe McCabe coming off the bench and knocking down a couple of three-pointers? That's the one spot where Iowa has a decided advantage, and it can be a good one, but it can't just be Caitlin coming up tomorrow.
And we know it's not going to be Molly D because she's doubtful tonight, according to that press conference you're just watching. Let's get Tom Kakert in here, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, how are you? Are you there, Tom Kakert?
I am. How are you guys?
Doing okay. Appreciate you coming on. So your thoughts on this matchup right off the jump here, Tom. Your thoughts on how Iowa may be able to exploit this Buffs defense.
Oh, you guys were cutting out a little bit, but Colorado, you were talking
about. Just go ahead.
Yeah, Trent was just hitting on it. Just looking at some of their stats, they have a propensity to not guard the three very well, and that's something that I was going to probably have to try and exploit. I wonder if, you know, Caitlin maybe not, but because I think they're probably going to try and take her away. But, boy, it's a big game then for, you know, Gabby and for Kate Martin and for, Sita Falter or somebody like that, Kylie Fierbach. They're going to have to get some of the other players going, I think, from three.
No doubt about it, Tom. And we didn't get to see that in the game against West Virginia. You kind of look at the path going forward. This Colorado team, does the familiarity that they have, Colorado playing Iowa a year ago, kind of understanding, you know, everything that comes along with playing Caitlin Clark and the extra notoriety and those things, do you think that is an advantage for Colorado coming into this game, knowing that they saw them a year ago, four starters are back for this Buffalo team from a season ago? Is that a little bit of an advantage, do you believe, for Colorado?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, that they have all those players back, and they've been in this position before. They know what going up against Iowa is like. I think there's some advantage to that. And then one of their other main players, too, is a Michigan transfer, so she's faced Iowa. So you got that. So there's probably some advantage, but Iowa knows their coach is the same. They run the same system, so Iowa is – well aware of what they're able to do. And I look back at the box score last year, and you know, McKenna Warnock and Monica Cezano had like 27 and 11 combined, so they were big contributors. But the other flip side of that, Hannah Stolke didn't really do anything right in that game, and she could be a real X factor, I think, running the floor and being able to make some plays. And so it's just, you know, it's just so weird that they're playing them in the round of 16 again. It's just weird to me because they did it last year out in Seattle.
And then if they get past them, and then if LSU had beaten UCLA in the game that will precede the Buffs and the Hawkeyes tomorrow, I mean, can you imagine what that rating, what that number's going to be on Monday, Tom, if we get LSU-Iowa again? I mean, we're seeing record numbers now. How big could this get?
Gigantic. It'd be gigantic, wouldn't it?
It absolutely would be. Oh, my God. So what
happened? It's the most anticipated women's basketball game in a forever, probably since some of those UConn-Tennessee games with like Candace Parker and you know, some of the great UConn teams, right?
No, I agree with you. And you know what? The whole Caitlin Clark Angel Reese thing from last year did nothing but elevate this potential game on Monday night to a stratosphere that women's basketball ratings wise has never seen. Will we get it though? Do you think LSU can knock off UCLA?
I think. Well, I know there's a lot of people in the women's game who think that UCLA is going to beat them.
Uh-huh.
So just a lot of people that I trust who are involved with women's basketball, they believe that they're going to get beat, that LSU is going to lose that game to UCLA. So we'll see. Maybe then it'll be a battle of Big Ten teams, right?
That's true.
UCLA and Iowa.
Yeah.
If it works out. So.
It's and not very often that Angel Reese is going to be going up against somebody taller than her, 6'7", with Betts inside. Yeah. You know, speaking of Betts, this popped into my mind. I know that they were after her in the portal. Was that a realistic target when they were back to, you know, last spring when they were in the portal, or was Betts always destined to stay out on the West Coast?
Yeah, she didn't seem receptive. She wanted to stay out west.
Okay.
So, you know, there's an effort that was made there. You know, you reach out, but you know, it's like anything. It's like, you know, any like a dating relationship. If the other party's not interested, you can't go on dates, right?
Yeah, it makes it difficult. Yeah, absolutely.
Then they call you a stalker. Yeah, they'll call you a stalker, right?
Yeah, that's the last thing you need. Unless Trent, you have any more on the women's game? I want to put a bow.
No.
Well, just one more on the women. Tom, do you think that will Caitlin Clark accept Ice Cube's offer?
No.
I hope she doesn't.
I don't think she needs to. I think it's really cool, though, that the USA Basketball, boy, that was just, because I wondered if she even really wanted to kind of jump into there, because you wonder how much, if there's going to be any, you know, resentment maybe from some of the other WNBA players, and maybe she didn't want to kind of kick up that hornet's nest, but boy, and it's got to be, I will say this. I bet the folks at NBC would love to see Caitlin Clark in the red, white, and blue.
You think? Yeah. Yeah. And not just in Christian Leitner's role with the Dream Team.
Right.
No. I think the folks at NBC would be more than happy to see Caitlin Clark wearing a USA jersey.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. All right, to the men. So we know that the transfer portal is open. We knew we've seen some players enter their names. Tony Perkins, who is the number one, I said point guard yesterday. Apparently one of the rankings has him as the number one overall player available as of today in the portal. Patrick McCaffrey's in it. This isn't a surprise yet, Tom. It seems like a lot of Hawkeye fans want to read more into it, and maybe they're going to get their wish and Fran McCaffrey's going to, you know, resign and we're going to get a new leader at the helm of Hawkeye basketball. Were you surprised that more Hawkeye fans wanted to read more into Patrick McCaffrey and Tony Perkins both wanting to play one more year but not necessarily in Iowa City?
I'm never surprised by things anymore, really. Things what they want it to be is what they see. It's very strange. The Patrick thing is very strange, the fan reaction, because, you know, let's be honest, I think some of the fan base was kind of took some shots at him over the years, and you know, fair or unfair, however you want to view it, but then they're angry that he goes into the portal,
right?
And I'm just like, you guys were, I saw many a message on our message boards. Oh, I'm glad Patrick's done.
Mm-hmm.
But then some of those same people are like, oh my God, he's in the portal. What is going on here? It didn't square up with me. But, you know, I think Patrick just wants to get away from, it's just taking a toll. Everybody knows that, you know, he's running public about the anxiety issues that he dealt with. And so much of that is from just the pressure that he was feeling putting on the black and gold uniform. And you know, Connor felt that. Jack McCaffrey's not going there. I mean, it is a question, though, that Fran's going to have to answer to recruits and the players that he's bringing in. Is your own kids don't want to play here, and it's partially because of the fans. Why should I come here? You know, are they going to tear me apart, too? You know, how supportive are the fans? I think that's, you know, it's going to be tough for Fran to answer that question, but it's one he's going to have to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are in contact with some guys and maybe answering some of those questions right now. What can you tell us? I know Alston Mason, that's been a big one from Missouri State. See a lot of him, obviously, in the MVC. And the MVC has been a kind of a, I guess, a minor league, if you will, for the Big Ten here recently and what we've seen Dean's jumping up. Outside of him, though, give us a name or two that you've heard that are a realistic one for Iowa.
Well, they've I got to pull up the list here, guys, so just bear with me for a second.
Sure.
But because I wrote something about some of these guys today, but it's all so very, very early in the process right now. Mm-hmm. In terms of, I know there's some schools, like Iowa State's already landed guys, and they were still playing, mm-hmm. but... you know, Alston Mason, Dakota LeFou is a 6'5" guard from Mount St. Mary's, average 17.6 and 3.9. They've reached out to him. Leland Walker seems like a long shot. Seems like maybe he'll end up at Indiana or DePaul, but that's another girl. The interesting player for me is William Kyle III. He's from Bellevue West High School in the Omaha area. He's at South Dakota State, averaged 13.1 points, 6.6 rebounds. Shot 62% from the field and was the defensive player of the year in the Summit League this year. So,
that'll help.
You know, Trent approves.
Yeah. Yes.
But obviously, I think Nebraska is going to make a huge push for him to try to get him in. Another guy that's mentioned, I am with Cale Brown Jones, and this might be somebody that Fran has kind of a two-pronged approach with. He's at UNC Greensboro, started his career elsewhere, but he's at UNC Greensboro, 6'8" forward, 220 pounds. He's originally from Philly, so he's a place where Fran coached at, place where Fran grew up at and knows the landscape. So I maybe keep an eye on him a little bit. I know they definitely want to get somebody who's kind of a point guard, and I know they want to get kind of a utility big man kind of player that could play some center, could play some power forward, because I know they you know, Laje is going to play a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Tajdo is going to come in, but they probably want somebody else to kind of help out with Owen on the boards and maybe somebody with a little experience. So, I think they're keeping an open mind, and the portal's still filling up, and it's going to keep filling up because guys are looking for opportunities.
Is Josh Dix? There's rumors out there about Dix that there's teams sniffing around on him from maybe a little bit closer to actually where he grew up than where he's playing his college basketball. Anything on Dix, Tom?
What I was told was that Josh and every other Iowa player met with Fran, and everything's all systems go to move forward as a Hawkeye. So, can that change? Absolutely. I think the one thing we've learned in the last few weeks when we watched something like Caden Proctor happen,
Jesus.
Anything can happen anymore, you know?
Yeah. Hey, and I'm glad...
There is no safe space there.
No, there is. I'm glad you brought up Caden Proctor because, his feet were actually on the ground in the state of Iowa. Tom, I'm starting to think he was never going to be a Hawkeye. He didn't want to be a Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I get that feel. And I'm not saying it was just a one-way street. It seems to me that Ferentz and company were never really convinced that this was going to happen. He burned them once, and they weren't just going to roll out the red carpet and the welcome mat and think, you know, everything's hunky-dory and give him the big embrace and welcome home. I'm not so sure that the football program was convinced that Caden Proctor really wanted to be a Hawk.
Yeah, and you know what I do? What I kind of think too is in that 2 months he figured out that he's not a good fit for Iowa football, and maybe that's part of the reason he left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't feel like he was going to be comfortable here. Maybe what he thought it was going to be and what it really was were two different things, and that led him to. And it's better you know that now than, you know, a few months from now. It's an awkward exit. No question. And the fact that he took some money and, you know, that's just part of doing business today. No, guys, you know, I know people get mad about it, but that's how business works today.
Yep.
And in a sport or an enterprise, whatever you want to call the NCAA athletics these days, that is completely lawless and completely broken. you know, there are no rules.
Nope,
so
none.
How do you enforce it? None. And until they fix that, we're just going to have this kind of wild situation.
Tom Kaker at HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it. We'll see if we get that game on Monday night. Boy, the network certainly wants to see LSU and Iowa again, but kind of get the sense that the Bruins may have other plans. We shall see. Tom, talk to you next week. Thank you, Tom Kakerd. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Tom Kakerd, HawkeyeReport.com, as we check in on the Hawks. You get that sense, Trent, that Proctor was... Yeah, he was here, but boy, oh boy, I'm not so sure he wanted to be here, and I'm not so sure that the football program wanted to be here.
Yeah, they weren't going to just acquiesce to whatever he wanted, and though they, I think, took the steps to make him as comfortable as possible, we've talked about this. It was a weird marriage from the get-go,
yep.
Living alone. I mean, what 19-year-old kid wants to live alone? I mean, that's not what you do, right? You want to hang out with your buddies, right? You want to have a good time. I mean, you're a big man.
Got
on
Brian Ferentz in trouble back in his day in school. Remember that?
It absolutely did. Yeah, living in the Section 8 housing. And
which, by the
was,
way, but... I had zero problem with. Who doesn't want, just as you said, who doesn't want to live with your buddies? That was my take on the air way back then. And I think I was one of the few that had that, if I recall.
Yeah, that was a different time, certainly.
Sure was.
You get it. You absolutely understand that, yes, it doesn't matter. Look, I lived in a bunch of crappy houses in college, and guess what? My buddies that came for money, they lived in those crappy houses too because they didn't want to live in a nice condo. That was a weird circumstance with Proctor, living alone and going to games by himself. And just maybe it just didn't fit. You know, Iowa football, say what you will about the offense and how it's fallen apart. It takes a different kind of kid to succeed in that environment. And from what we heard of Proctor, and same thing at Alabama, I mean, he had to work himself into shape last season. He was overweight. He was nearly 400 pounds when he showed up a year ago down in Tuscaloosa. And I do have concerns about him. No spring practice. What's he doing right now? What's the workout regime? I think there has to be a little bit of concern there of what he's going to look like wherever he shows up, most likely Tuscaloosa, but how he's going to show up and what kind of shape he's going to be in when he gets there this summer.
We'll take our final break. Trent's Plays of the Day are next. Circus Sports sponsor, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Right, 10 minutes before 1, Murph and Andy show coming up next. Murph in Albany, New York. Andrew Downs is in with Andy Fales coming up here at 1 o'clock. And, of course, the drive with Heather and Sean. So stand by for that from 3 until 6 as local programming continues. Trent's Plays of the Day. Trent, got about 2 minutes left in the program. You're over at Clinton at Wild Rose, fine partner of Circus Sports. Who are you betting on? How many plays have you got? Are they all basketball? Or are you dipping your toe in MLB waters?
I got one play in baseball coming up tonight. I'm going to grab the Marlins and lay the -127 with them. And then outside of that, it is basketball. Three plays in the Sweet 16 on the men's side. I like NC State. We've talked about that quite a bit throughout the course of the week. Marquette, I know Cleric's back, and he's playing at a high level. There's something about this NC State team, though, the way that they're clicking. Mm-hmm. DJ Burns is so fun to watch. He's got that soft touch, the big man motoring up and down. And Marquette's not a great rebounding team. That's the other component of this one. That's why I like NC State. They're getting 7 right now at Circa. I got Gonzaga in the points, the +5.5. That's one I've kind of gone back and forth on. And then I mentioned I flipped my bet. I was on Duke earlier in the week. I jumped over to Houston. Ken, you know that's usually a bad thing to do that, but that's where we are, and I got Houston -4. And wrap it up, we talked about this team earlier. I've had this one locked in now for a couple of days. The Texas women, -5.5 against Gonzaga in the women's Sweet 16 tonight. I got that play. I already got Colorado in my back pocket for tomorrow against Iowa in the women's Sweet 16.
Because
so
you got
what have coming up.
9.5 when it opened? Is that what it was you got?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, first book that I saw was at, what was that? That was FanDuel that had it up first. It was 9.5. By the time I got into the studio that day, it was down to 8.5. And now you look across the boards, it's 7s pretty much everywhere.
I saw 6.5.
Oh, wow.
You won 6.5 out there earlier, yeah.
So a big change on that one. But let's hope we have a big matchup to preview when we get back in studio on Monday.
I think we do. I'm not just so sure that it's going to be against LSU. I think UCLA might have other plans, but look, we shall see. Going to be a fun afternoon of basketball and then into the evening hours with the two games tomorrow. UConn-Illinois is the first game, correct?
Yeah, that's the 5 o'clock game.
5 o'clock, and then what, to 8 o'clock or thereabouts, we'll get the 6 versus 4, Clemson versus Alabama. Boy, this Clemson team, one of the stories of the tournament. I didn't see Clemson having this type of run in them. Palm did, bought him at 125-1, or so he said when he grabbed them. So we'll see. So you're making your way back from Clinton at some point?
Yeah, be packing up the equipment, getting on the road, and making the trek back west, and getting back into town this afternoon. You know, we got to go see the Easter Bunny tonight. Oh. That's a big thing. Got to get those Easter Bunny pictures. So that's what's on the docket here on a Good Friday.
Absolutely. So they actually have a physical sports book. What was Sweet 16 like in Clinton, Iowa last night? Were there people in the
really
book?
Good.
There really was.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, there was probably a good, I'd say, 40, 50 people here. We were the loudest group, but yeah, there was a couple of Cyclone fans and then just some general observers. So it was a fun environment over here. Really enjoyed it. And of course, always having the opportunity to meet up with our friends here at Wild Rose is always a great thing too. But good environment. Some disappointed Cyclone fans though afterwards.
I bet so. Over 500 people in Valair Ballroom, Cyclone fans, to watch that game last night. Unbelievable. Safe trip, Trent. Back, Trent. We'll see you on Monday. We appreciate all of you listening here. Murph and Andy next. The Drive with Heather and Sean. And Monday we'll be here before we know it. And the local program begins with the Morning Rush at 6. We're Miller and Condon, weekdays 11 to 1, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.